Welcome to the Microgreens World Podcast.
All right, ready to dive deep into something awesome.
Let's do it.
We're talking broccoli microgreens, but with a twist. We're ditching the soil and using these cool things called biodegradable mats.
Yeah, they're pretty game-changing, especially for indoor growing.
So no more messy soil.
Nope, nice and clean.
Okay, so walk me through this. What are these mats all about?
Well, they're made from, like, natural fibers, things like coconut or hemp. Basically, it's a sustainable bed for your microgreens to grow on.
Interesting. So no soil at all. But what about the roots?
The mats hold moisture really well, so the roots can grow strong. You actually end up watering less than with soil.
Less watering. That's a win in my book.
Right. And get this, after you're done growing, you can just compost the mat.
Whoa, wait a minute. So I can grow my own food, skip the mess, and help the environment. That's pretty amazing.
Exactly. Plus, you can grow a ton in a small space. Like, imagine stacked trays full of microgreens.
Okay, I am so on board with this, but how do I actually set this up? What do I need?
You'll need some trays, the kind with drainage holes, and a spray bottle for watering, and of course, the mats.
And I see a lot of people using those grow lights. Are those necessary?
They can help if you don't have a super sunny spot, but you can totally use natural light, too.
This all sounds very doable, even for someone like me who's not, you know, a master gardener.
Exactly. That's a whole point. Anyone can do this.
So I really could grow those fancy microgreens I keep seeing everywhere.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, broccoli is an excellent choice for these mats.
What makes broccoli such a good fit?
Well, it's known for having really robust roots, and it does really well on mats. Plus, it's very manageable to grow.
Sounds like my kind of plant.
And the taste is phenomenal, like way more intense than regular broccoli.
Okay, my taste buds are ready. Let's say I've got my mats, seeds, and trays. What's next?
Time to sow those seeds. With broccoli, you'll want like 10 to 15 seeds per square inch with a bit of space between them.
And do I need to soak them beforehand or anything like that?
Nope. Broccoli seeds are pretty easy going. Just sprinkle them on and you're good to go.
I'm always overwatering my plants. Is that an issue with these mats?
Actually, we're going to bottom water.
Bottom water? What's that?
Instead of watering from the top, you add water to the tray underneath the mat, so the roots absorb it from below.
Oh, makes sense. Less chance of overwatering.
Exactly. It also helps prevent mold and keeps the seedlings happy.
So how often do I need to water like that?
Probably once or twice a day. Just keep an eye on the moisture level.
Okay, got it. What about temperature and humidity? Do I need to turn my place into a sauna?
No worries. Normal household temperatures are fine. Something like 65 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit.
Phew. That's a relief. Any other tips to help them thrive?
A small fan can be helpful to keep the air circulating.
So we're giving them their own personal air conditioning. Nice.
It's all about creating the perfect growing environment. And you know what?
What's that?
These little guys are actually packed with way more nutrients than full-grown broccoli.
Really? So they're like superfoods?
Pretty much.
Okay, now I'm really excited about this whole microgreen thing. But before we go any further, gotta ask, when can I actually eat these? How do I know when they're ready to harvest?
That's the perfect question to lead us into the next part of our deep dive, all about harvesting these nutritional powerhouses.
Stay tuned, folks. We're about to get to the best part, the eating.
All right, so before we get to that delicious harvest, let's talk about how to tell when those broccoli microgreens are ready. You know, like, how do we know it's time to actually snip them?
Okay, yeah, what am I looking for? Do they, like, I don't know, sprout a little flag or something when they're ready to be eaten?
Huh, not exactly. But they do give us some clues. You want to look for the first true leaves. Those come up after the cotyledons, the initial baby leaves.
Ah, okay, so once I see those, it's time to grab my scissors.
Well, not quite yet. You want to make sure those true leaves have unfolded and are looking, you know, healthy and strong.
So how long does that usually take?
Usually around 7 to 14 days, but it depends on the conditions.
Okay, patience is key, I guess. But once they're ready, what's the best way to harvest them?
You'll want a sharp pair of scissors and make sure they're clean, of course. Just snip them right above the mat. Don't pull or tug.
Gotcha. Snip, snip, snip. All right, so now I've got a big pile of microgreens. How do I keep them fresh until I'm ready to use them?
Give them a good once with cold water, and then you can spin them dry. A salad spinner works great.
Okay, and if I don't have a salad spinner?
Just pat them dry with a clean towel, easy peasy.
And then where do they go?
An airtight container is best, lined with a paper towel to soak up any extra moisture.
So they don't get all soggy.
Exactly, then pop them in the fridge.
What's the best spot in the fridge for these little guys?
The crisper drawer is ideal. It helps maintain that perfect humidity.
Makes sense. Now, how long will they stay fresh in there?
They should last for about 2 weeks. Although, honestly, they usually don't last that long in my house.
Yeah, they sound pretty delicious. But before we get to all the yummy recipes, what about the mats themselves? What do I do with them after I'm done growing?
Well, this is where it gets really cool. Remember how we talked about those mats being compostable?
Oh, yeah, the eco-friendly part.
Yep. So you can actually toss those mats right into your compost bin.
Even if I'm, living in an apartment.
Totally. You could try vermicomposting. That's using worms, or there are even indoor composting systems.
So even city folks can get in on the composting action. Awesome.
Oh.
It's like closing the loop, going full circle.
Exactly. And speaking of full circle, these microgreens aren't just good for the planet, they're amazing for our health too.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about how nutrient-packed they are.
Well, they're actually even more nutrient dense than their mature counterparts, like a lot more.
Wait, seriously. So a tiny handful of these is better than eating like a whole head of broccoli.
Sometimes, yeah. Studies have shown they can have like 40 times the nutrient concentration.
40 times. That's crazy.
It's not just about the amount, though. Those nutrients are also way easier for our bodies to absorb.
So we're getting a supercharged dose of vitamins and minerals our bodies can actually use. But what does that mean for our health, like practically?
Well, think about boosting your immune system, protecting your heart, even improving brain function.
Oh, that's impressive.
They've got vitamins A, C, E, K, plus minerals like iron and zinc and potassium.
So it's not just about taste. It's like we're actually giving our bodies the fuel they need to thrive.
Exactly. And they're so versatile too. You can add them to anything, salads, sandwiches, smoothies, or even use them as garnish.
I'm already picturing all the things I can make. And remember those radish microgreens we talked about? I bet those would add a nice peppery kick to a salad.
Sounds delicious. Well, I think this is a good place to transition to the final part of our microgreens deep dive.
Right, so we've covered broccoli, but there's a whole world of other microgreens out there.
Exactly. We'll explore some more varieties and talk about how to incorporate them into your diet.
Stay tuned, folks. We're about to unlock even more microgreen possibilities. Okay, so we've covered broccoli, but I know there are so many other types of microgreens out there. What else should we be experimenting with?
Oh man, there are tons. It's like a whole flavor adventure waiting to happen. We talked about broccoli, but there's a whole family of plants called brassicas, and a lot of those make amazing microgreens too.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Well, radishes, for one, those are really popular, and kale, mustard greens, all sorts of stuff.
Radish microgreens, huh? What do those taste?
They've got this peppery kick to them, really adds a nice spice to salads and things. And kale. It's actually much milder than mature kale, kind of a delicate, earthy flavor.
Interesting. Okay, so those are going on my list to try. What about herbs? Can you grow like basil or cilantro as microgreens?
Totally. Herbs work great as microgreens. You might need to pay a little more attention to humidity with those, but it's definitely worth it.
Fresh herbs right from my kitchen. Amazing.
And don't forget about the colors. I mean, microgreens can add so much vibrancy to your dishes. You can get reds, purples, yellows. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, a feast for the eyes and the stomach. But, thinking about all these different varieties, are there any that are, I don't know, kind of tricky to grow, even for someone who's like gotten the hang of the basics?
That's a good question. Yeah, there are some that are a bit more finicky. Wheat grass, for example, can be a little challenging. They need specific conditions and might be better suited for growing in soil, at least at first.
Okay, so maybe I'll stick with the easier ones for now. But it's funny, I used to think of microgreens as like this fancy garnish. But now that we've talked about their nutritional value and how sustainable they are, I see them totally differently.
Yeah, it really changes your perspective, doesn't it? It's such a simple thing, but it can have a big impact both on your health and, the planet.
It's like a whole new way of thinking about food.
Exactly. And that's what makes this whole microgreen thing so exciting. It's about so much more than just, putting something green on your plate. It's about taking control of your health, connecting with nature, being more sustainable.
I love that. Well, this has been a truly fascinating deep dive. I feel so inspired to start my own little microgreen garden.
That's great. So tell me, what are you thinking of growing first?
I'm really curious about those radish microgreens with that peppery flavor. But honestly, I think I might just try a mix of different things and see what happens.
That's the best way to learn. Don't be afraid to experiment. That's part of the fun. There's a whole world of microgreens out there just waiting to be discovered.
And to all our listeners, thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of microgreens.
We hope you feel inspired to give it a try.
Start small, have fun with it, and enjoy those delicious and nutritious rewards. Happy growing, everyone.
Happy growing.